presence. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the work you're doing in our lives. We thank you for the breakthroughs we will receive and the breakthroughs we will experience in your presence, Lord. I pray, Father, Lord, that you may use me as a vessel, Lord, but for your people, Lord. I pray that as the word goes out, Lord, is written, it does not return back void, Lord. It goes out and it does what is set forth to do, Lord, which is to build, to restore, to set free, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's open up to the book of Judges. God is good. God is good. Let's open up to the book of Judges, chapter 6. And I will be reading two verses. Book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 11. Actually, let's read three from verse 11 to 13. 11, 12, and 13. 6, 11, 12, and 13. And it reads like this. And the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and has given us into the hand of Midian." You may be seated, church. If you know, the book of Judges comes into play where after Joshua had led Israel to cross the Jordan River, right? And actually, the theme of this sermon, right? I know it's up there. It's funny, right? It says, who do you think you are? Let's start there, right? Won't you look at your neighbor, and this is not a malicious, who do you think you are, right? But I want you to look at your neighbor and tell him, who do you think you are? Question mark. Go ahead. Don't be scared. Who do you think you are? Right? Don't be scared. Right? Who do you think you are? The book of Judges takes place after Joshua had died. After Joshua had finished leading the Israelites across the Jordan River. Right? After his death, there was no one else to lead the people of Israel. There was no one else to take the baton and say, this is what the Lord said. So the people of Israel fall into a vicious cycle. And this cycle's familiar to a lot of us. We've been talking about this since the book of Genesis, right? The cycle of idol worshiping, the cycle of I'm going to do what I want, how I want to do it, whenever I want to do it, right? And then comes the consequences to that cycle, right? I wrote it down here, right? It's the first step is apostasy, right? When you do whatever you want. The second one is servitude, right? Where the consequences of what you did come to play. The consequences of your actions. Do you know every action has a consequence, right? Whether it's good or bad. Then comes when we in the consequences, we're crying out, right? Lord, can you save me? Can you help me out here? And in God's mercy, he comes and helps us. But what I like to compare, right, because this cycle that Israel went through was a vicious cycle, right? Every time they started to idol worship, God allowed them to be conquered by a different nation. God allowed them to be conquered by the Midianites, the Amalekites, and he allowed them to suffer. Why? Because they turned away from God. Now, but how does this apply to us? Because we ain't being enslaved. We don't got people cracking a whip on us, right? And taking our crops. But how does that apply to us, right? The cycle is still there. It's just in disguise. Anything that occupies first place. Can I preach it? Anything that takes God's first place makes you part of that cycle. And it's a cycle in disguise. It's a cycle where the people conform to this age. It's a cycle where the people, instead of putting God first, the career is first. Instead of putting God first, the retirement plans are first. Instead of putting God first, the children are first. Instead of putting God first, the money is first. Instead of putting God first, your worries and because you are so conformed to this age, everything is first and God is somewhere down the list. That's a cycle in disguise. It looks good, but it's not good. It looks good, but it's harmful. It looks good, but it keeps you away from God's presence. It looks good, but at the end of the day, it's not good because you're far away from God. Now, some people say, well, I have to work. I have to retire. Yeah, God wants you to do that. God wants you to plan. But the Bible also says that the man plans and God's will and God's calling prevails. So it's good to plan, right? It's good to plan. But let's not get caught up in a cycle. Because the cycle will keep you from discovering who you are. The cycle will keep you away from God's presence. Oh, man. The consequences in chapter 6. Can we go there? The Israelites were being oppressed by the Midianites. And then in verse 11, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord appeared. And you know what it says? It says that Gideon, let's read it. It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down on the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. Now let's look at this. In old Bible times, you don't thresh wheat in a wine press. You thresh wheat in the threshing floor. Remember the book of Ruth, right? Boaz was threshing wheat in the threshing floor. There was a specific place to thresh the wheat. But Gideon is threshing the wheat in a wine press. What gets crushed in a wine press? Grapes. Right? So he is in a different place, secluded, right? Not scared. I wouldn't say scared, but he's concerned that if the Midianites see him threshing wheat, they're going to come and take it from him. So he says, well, I got to go somewhere and hide and do this, right? I got to, let me do it in a wine press where no one can see me, where I'm out of sight, where I'm out of mind. Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press. He was concerned. The circumstances he had been living in were difficult. Have you ever been in a difficult circumstance? Have you ever been in a circumstance that's challenging? I mean, the Israelites were concerned that the Midianites were going to take their food. I don't understand. I don't know if you're getting this. They were concerned that they weren't going to have nothing to survive on. Because every time they had fresh produce, the Midianites came and took it from them. The circumstances were difficult. Gideon was stressed out, worried, hopeless, discouraged. Have you ever been around there? I have. I have been in situations where I feel hopeless, where I feel discouraged, where I feel like there ain't, man, where is my refuge gonna come from, right? What this David said, I looked up into the hills, and where does my refuge come from, right? My refuge comes from the Lord, right? He was, what Gideon was doing, he was adapting to the lifestyle he was already in for 7 years. The Bible says that the Midianites oppressed the Israelites for 7 years. So he was adapting to the circumstances of the current situation. He was adapting to that circumstances. The circumstances were difficult. There was the reality of the situation. It was the reality. The reality was that if they see me with the wheat and the produce, they're going to come and take it. There's no change in that reality. He was adapting. I wonder how many of us adapt to the cycle of being conformed. I wonder how many of us adapt to a cycle that we want to believe is healthy for us. That we want to rationalize with God, like we could convince God to think that it's healthy for us. You guys are with me this morning? Don't worry. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. I wonder how many of us believe that. Because that's what the enemy wants. That's what the enemy wants. He wants you to be conformed to this culture, to think that it's okay to put other things before God. It's okay to put your career, your retirement, your children, your family, your life before him. He wants you to think that because at the end of the day, you're going to fall into a cycle of slavery and you're going to find yourself oppressed, depressed, messed up, trying to figure it out. What did Victor read up here? Many idols leave us to a place of despair. What is it that you have before the Lord today? What is your current situation? Because that's what he wants. He wants you to be conformed. The enemy wants you to accept that situation. Because you've been in it for so long. He says, listen, just accept it that this is the reality of where you're at. Just accept it. Just go to the divorce court and just get a divorce because this is where you're at. Just accept it. It's not going to be good. Just accept it. The job is going to bring you the happiness. Yeah, keep on working and not coming to church and not giving God your time. Just accept it because this is the reality. The reality is that if you don't work, you don't survive. But go ahead. I want you to work your way out of church. I want you to work your way out of God's presence. I want you to put yourself in a state of mind where you have adapted to the situation and the circumstances so you can fall in a cycle of disguised. To accept the situation is to conform to this culture. To accept the situation that you're in is to conform to this culture and to the circumstances that you're in at this very moment. To conform is to accept. But I praise the Lord Jesus. I thank him for the cross of Calvary. I thank him that I don't have to accept my current situation. This is what the enemy wants. He wants you to accept it. It's not going to get better. This is what it is. And Gideon, being in the circumstances for 7 years, you start to wonder, man, this is what it is. They're going to take our crops. They're going to take our produce. They're gonna take it all. And sometimes this is the enemy's vicious cycle of sin. He's disguised our current culture to conform, oh man, to conform to what we think is good. No, what's good is that God is everything in everything and in first place. Wait a minute. God is everything over your retirement, over your plans, over your goals. He is number one. Some people are like, God knows you got to retire. God knows you need to pay the mortgage. God knows you need to survive. God knows you need to take care of the kids. You got bills to pay. God knows that. But if you put him in a different category, you're falling into the cycle that the Israelites fell into it. Just in a different, remember, it's the same cycle, it's just in disguise to this current culture we're in. To conform is to accept the current situation. How's your situation right now? And what are you going through? And what is God pressing on your heart for? And what is he telling you to let go? And what is it that you don't want to let go? Because you know what I've learned about this cycle? That when we're in it, we like it. We like to be in it. The Israelites withdrew back to it because they like to do whatever they wanted to do at times. But we don't need people to tell us what to do. Moses didn't come down from the mountain. Build the golden calf and let's worship the golden calf. And they all had parties. And the Bible, if you read it, it gets real explicit, right? They did all types of things. They lived how they want to live. And sometimes when we're in this cycle, we don't want people to tell us what to do, how to live. We don't want no accountability. Because Israel lived in a cycle of sin. And you know what's amazing? That it didn't have to be the whole nation. All it took was one person to commit sin and lift up a false altar, and the whole nation suffered the consequences. All it took was one person to do something wrong, to lift up the wrong altar. What's our altar looking like this morning? What's in first place? What drives me every morning when I wake up and what drives me every night before I close my eyes? What is my thought process and my heart like? What is taking my full attention? Because if it's not God, it's your idol. If it's not God, it's the cycle in disguise. I worked hard to get here. It's a cycle in disguise. God wants to bless you, but he wants to bless you his way, the way that's convenient for him and knows what's best for you. It's not the way you want to do it. It's the way God wants to do it. It's not how you want to go about it. It's the way God wants to give it to you and how he wants to bring it to you. It's not that, you know what I've discovered? That some of us will have all these goals. And if you've been coming to our Monday class, this might resound, right? You might have heard this already. People will fulfill a list of shallow victories. Because if your goals are not lining up with God's will, it becomes a shallow victory. Well, I got a goal to save $5,000. Okay. So what happens when you got $5,000? Well, I got to save 10. What happens when you got the 10? How is that aligning with God's purpose? Is the 10,000, are you going to take 1,000 out of the 10,000 and take it to the orphanage? Or is it just because you have your priorities before God? Because there's certain things that take first place instead of God being first. I don't want shallow victories. I don't want my goals to be shallow. I want to have goals that have meaning and purpose to my life. Praise the Lord. But look how this goes. The entire nation was oppressed, but I love verse 12. I love it. And he goes, and the angel of the Lord appeared. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon. He said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Wait a minute. Man, I've been oppressed for 7 years. How could he be with me? If you read verse 13, that's it. Excuse me? All right. Because what? Because God's plans don't always have to make sense to us. Because God's plans don't always have to come the way we want them to come. Because sometimes we think we could sit back and put the pieces and the puzzles for God. Says, well, God, I see this puzzle coming, and I think if I could put this here and go there, and this is the outcome of it. I figured it out for you. I got this under control. But the angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon to give him a tug, to pull him out. Yeah, he comes to show him who he really is. He says, mighty warrior, I got to tug you out of that mindset of slavery. I got to tug you out that concept that you think is healthy, but it's just going to damage you. I got to tug you out of that mindset of slavery. I got to show you who you really are. I got to tug you out. Come out of that current situation. Come out, mighty warrior. The situation does not define who you are. Come out, come out. I wonder if some people sitting in here saying, I got to get out of this. Because there's something that God has assigned to my life. Wait a minute, but I have a good job, I have a career. Yeah, those are your duties, my friend. That your career is what you have to take care of your family. Your career, and I'm not saying, listen, in our careers, God uses us and uses us to bless people. But it's not your place of residency. Because when God formed you, he formed you with a master design. He formed you for greatness. He formed you to show you who you really are. A Christian without identity is a lost Christian in a cycle of sin. Mighty warrior. You know what I love about this? In the Hebrew, when God tells Gideon, mighty warrior, it's equals to First Chronicles chapter 11 from 20 to 25. David calls his men mighty warriors. Gideon is being compared to the same men that David called mighty warriors. And these not the mighty warriors of David wasn't the army of Israel, just to let you know. It was the 300 that were oppressed in that cave of Adullam that walked in and were looking for a leader. And David became their leader. And they became the greatest army in the Bible. Those 300 were like, man, when everybody else was wavering, when everybody else was running, when everybody else was folding, the 300 says, David, we got you. Gideon is compared to these mighty men. Oh, man. We're going to get there. This is not going to be too long. The men stood their ground. That's where the mighty men were. This is what the angel calls Gideon. Who do you think you are? Has your current situation transformed your mind so much that you have accepted it for what it is and have lost your identity? Has the current situation changed your mind to the point where you're accepting defeat, where you're accepting what the enemy wants to do to you, where you're accepting what he wants to do to your children, where you're accepting what he wants to do to your family? Have you conformed to the current situation? Has the current situation damaged you that much? Come on, mighty warrior. Come out. Come out, because God is looking for people to come out. God is looking for the people that go to sleep and in their mind, The only thing they could think of is, how can I love you more? God is looking for people that in their daily walk, they're thinking about how are they going to please God. God is looking for people to do extraordinary things. He's looking for ordinary people to do extraordinary things. But first, he got to tug you out. This is going to be a battle. It's not going to be easy, but he's going to pull you out. Because the time is coming where the true worshipers will worship God in truth and in spirit. I believe it. Because there's sometimes I go to sleep and I'm just thinking about how much he's been good to me. Come on, George. I got to pull something out of you. He's got to pull something that you don't even know that you have inside of you. Can I get a worship? Who do you think you are? Mighty man of valor, the angel tells Gideon. You know what God was doing? He was showing Gideon a different perspective. Because the current situation has us in reality, right? Gideon's current situation was his reality. But God's view is not bound by Gideon's reality. Oh, man. God is not bound by your reality. God is not bound by your current situation. Because God is greater than that. God is mightier than that. He's not bound to your circumstances. Come on, I got to show you a different perspective, Gideon, because this is the only way you're going to come out of the darkness. This is the only way you're going to have a shift in mindset. I got to show you. Your situation, your reality does not bound God. Now, how bad is your situation? Because I've talked to a lot of people. Some people feel like their situation is the end. I got news for you. There was somebody that died on the cross and resurrected on the third day. His name was Jesus. There was somebody that not even the grave could hold. There was someone that not even the tomb could have kept. There's someone that is not bound to the laws of science. There's someone that's not bound to know. He has no boundaries. He interjects. He reaches out to where no man can reach. He changes a situation where no man can change. He delivers when no one else can deliver. He heals when no one else can heal. He reaches all the way in, baby. I got to show you a different perspective, Gideon. I got to show you who's with you, mighty warrior. I got to show you not that I'm only with you, but that I'm inside of you. Because what's inside of us, it's who we are destined to be. Don't get this confused. Don't walk around seeing people misbehaving. Oh, man, God doesn't have hope for them. Because what's inside of them, it's different from what they're reflecting. It's just, we got to pull you out, baby. We got to pull the mighty warrior out. That person he's a rebel. He doesn't listen. Let God pull out the mighty warrior. I just don't know if my marriage is going to make it. Let God pull out that mighty warrior. I don't know, because the situation, this is what it is. God is with you, and he wants to awaken what's inside of you. And what's inside of you is what identifies who you are. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the sleeping giant. The mighty warrior sleeps within. You got to wake him up. You know? God will allow difficult circumstances to hit your life to wake up the mighty warrior. Sometimes the mighty warrior wakes up in moments of tragedy. Sometimes the mighty warrior wakes up in moments of tears and desperation. Sometimes the mighty warrior will wake up in a moment of, I'm tired of being conformed to this age and this culture. I'm tired of being conformed. It's time to be transformed. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, where's the mighty warrior at? You know, there's some people that God is calling. Listen, I know you get tired of worshiping regular. Come out. Let me pull out the mighty warrior. Your worship will change. I know you're tired of a regular Sunday school class. Let me pull out the mighty warrior in you, and you'll see your Sunday school class change. Oh, man. But these are things that sometimes we're so conformed. But when God is telling us this morning, I don't want you to be conformed. I want you to be transformed. I want you to be against the current, because I work against the current. I work in places where you think I don't work at. God is an expert at that. He was with Gideon, and he was inside of Gideon. Can I get amen and amen? This is it, man. When you align your walk with God's perspective, your life will change. Wait a minute. Not when you align your walk with your own personal life and your own personal goals and your own personal shallow victories. When you align your life with God's perspective, because God's perspective is not like ours. Because God looks at the situation and says, come on, mighty warrior, mighty warrior. What are you talking about? I've been in this situation for years. It's been 7 years I've been oppressed. He doesn't even mention it back to God. You see that conversation? Read verse 13. He doesn't even bring it back to the God. He says, come on, mighty warrior. He's like, but we've been in this situation for so long. He disregards the main purpose of being a mighty warrior. Your identity is crucial. Who you are defines where you will go. Who you are will define where you will end up. Some people say, well, I'm going to end up in this job and this is it. This is it. This is the house. This is the place. This is where my kids will go to school. Man, you got it all figured out. I got news for you. God will throw a wrench into your plans to fulfill his purpose. You can't fulfill his purpose if you don't know who you really are. You can't fulfill his purpose if you are not aligned with God's perspective. His view of your situation is different from your view. His view is totally different. You are in the situation, you're in reality, you're in the moment. God is saying, man, when I pull out that mighty warrior, you're going to see that it's all different. You're going to see that I've never lost a fight. From the book to Genesis, to the book of Revelations, to the coming of the church, to the rapture of the church, from the rapture of the church to the coming of Jesus, I've never lost a fight. But you're so messed up in the cycle that you cannot see your true identity. But this morning, God wants me to tell you, you got to come out of that. You want to worship different? You got to come out. You want to, oh man, you want to be different? You got to come out. You know what? To come out, it's going to cost you everything you have. Are you willing to walk away from some things that have you entrapped in this cycle? Cost what it costs. Are you willing to walk out? Come on. Are you willing to let it go? Come on. You know, Pastor Carlos doesn't say this too much, but I'm going to say it. He was an MTA worker, making over $100,000. But when God pulled out that mighty warrior, he says, it's time to go. If God tells you, it's time to go. What are you going to do? Because some people are so caught up in this cycle,
That they will live their lives and their lives will never have meaning. When you die, it says, well, George was born 1983, What was the meaning of his life? What's the legacy you left behind? What will your kids say about you? What will your church family say about you? What will God say about you? There's no time. You got to understand what God is calling you to do. You got to understand what God is calling you from. You got to understand that God's call is going to recommend, you're going to have to leave some things behind. You're going to have to step out the cycle and be against the norm. Because some people want to be in the cycle. They like the cycle. They like the pleasures of the sinful nature. They want to go and come as they please. But God is saying, there's going to be those people. You know what 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 11 says? Apostle Paul wrote it like this. He says, there were those that saw the cloud. There were those that walked with the cloud by day, by the pillar of fire by night. There were those that saw the Shekinah glory descending to the tabernacle. There were those that saw mighty wonders of God, but their bodies are scattered in the wilderness in remembrance of those that rejected the Lord, of those that turned away, of those that know what's right and do what's wrong. God is saying those times are coming to an end. I'm going to pull out some real worshipers. I'm going to pull out some people that they can't close their eyes at night without thinking of the presence of God. I'm going to pull out some people that are thirsty and hungry for righteousness. It doesn't matter. It's going to come out, come out, come out, Gideon. Wherever you're at, God's perspective. God's perspective is different from ours. Gideon was happy. You know what verse 13 tells you? Let's read it. Mighty warrior, look at his response. Pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? He was so conformed to the circumstances of life that he couldn't believe that God was calling him. He couldn't, it couldn't sink in properly. It couldn't register properly. Because this is what the cycle of sin does. It messes us so much up. It messes our minds so much that when God jumps in, it leaves us like in shock. He did it. Yes, he did it. He jumped in and provided when you didn't have. He did it. He jumped in and saved you when you were in your deathbed. When God jumps in, it leaves us at all. And Gideon is like, what's going on here? And I love that Gideon, when you read a little bit further, he questions God. He says, come on, if this is really you, well, let me bring the offering here. God, could you wait for me right here? And you know what I love about God? That he says, I'll wait. You know the difference between him and Job? Job was a man of integrity who knew the Lord. And when he questions God, God tells him, where were you when I created the foundations of the earth? But knowing that Gideon's situation is a little different, knowing that Gideon's character is a little different, he says, I'll wait. I'll wait. Because this is what I do. I will wait for you. But I got to tug you out. And when I tug you out, it's going to cost you some tears. When I tug you out, you're going to have to leave some things behind. Because when the trumpet sounds, baby, is you and Jesus going all the way up. There ain't nothing, you ain't taking nothing with you. Look at this, and I'm almost wrapping up. Are you having trouble believing it? You're receiving it. Are you having trouble believing what you're receiving? Are you having trouble processing that God wants to pull something great out of you? Are you having trouble processing that God wants to pull out someone different. That God wants to pull out who he designed you to be. Are you having trouble believing it? Are you fearful this morning? Because God says, I have a different perspective of your fear. I see someone courageous. Are you incompetent this morning? God says, I have a different perspective. You're capable. Are you ungifted? God says, I've equipped you. Are you worthless, rejected, insignificant? God says, you're valuable, accepted, and special. God's perspective is always different from ours. And as I wrap up, Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh his heart, so he is. You receive it, but do you believe there's a mighty warrior inside of you? Because if you believe it, you're thinking about it, and that's who you will become. Oh, man. Look at what Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Gideon in chapter 8, verse 23 says, I will not rule over you. My son will not rule over you. The Lord will rule over you. And Israel had, with Gideon, 40 years of peace and prosperity. Peter, if you aligned your life with my perspective, you won't only be a fisherman, but you'll be a fisher of men. Peter, if you aligned your life with my perspective, the lame beggar in Acts chapter 3 was in that situation for 40 years, and Peter walked in on sight. Because Peter wasn't Peter no more. He was Peter with God's perspective. And he tells the lame guy, well, I don't got no money, but what I got, I give you. Get up in the name of Jesus. He pulled them out. His perspective aligned with God's will change your destiny, will change where you will walk. It will change where you will stop. It will change your whole journey. Oh, man. Come on. It was Peter's perspective when they were in the boat and they said, there's a ghost out there. It was Peter's perspective aligned with God's perspective that said, no, that's not a ghost. That's Jesus. It was, you know what? You know what's funny about that? His perspective would have said, if I come out the boat, I'm going to sink. Because he had his perspective aligned with God's perspective, he was able to walk on water. Who cares if he sunk a couple steps in? The point is that he walked on water and his perspective was in line with God. Who do you say I am, Peter? Everybody's like, man, he's Elijah. Who? He's the greatest prophet to ever walk. Peter says, you're the Christ. His perspective was aligned with God's perspective, and he saw who Jesus was. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I don't know what you're going through this morning, but God says, I want to tug you out. I want to pull you out to be who I've called you to be. Are you going to walk away when I call you? Are you going to be ready to come to me? Hallelujah. Church, let's stand up to our feet. Hallelujah. Do not be conformed. Do not be conformed, church. Do not be conformed by this culture and the patterns of this world. Don't be conformed, but be ye transformed by the power of God. Hallelujah. What are you going through this morning? Have you said this is too big for God? This is too much for me? Don't be conformed. Because God has a sleeping giant inside of you. God is calling this morning. He's calling the courageous. He's calling the people who will not compromise. He's calling the true worshipers in truth and in spirit. He's calling those that are going to walk away from it because they know who they are in Christ, and they know that God has never failed, that God will never fail you. Oh, he's calling this morning. Where is my mighty warriors? Where is my true worshipers? Where are those that worship me without compromising? Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, hover upon your church. Hover upon your people. Hover. Because he's calling this morning. He's calling you out of the shadows. Hallelujah. He's calling you to be different. Hallelujah. As the worshipers get ready to sing, he's calling you. Come out. It's going to cost. It's okay. God never failed. Come out. He's going to call you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father Lord, as we worship you, let the true worshipers come out. Hallelujah. Father Lord, we give you glory. As the worship team worships, don't be scared. God has your back.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.